In this world, we are all confronted with different kinds of issues and problems. There is not one who has not faced one kind of problem or another. God did not create us to face and to suffer problems. Sorrow, sickness, disease, problems, troubles, disasters are all the results and after effect of man's sin and disobedience to God. There is no one without sin. The Holy Bible in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Jesus Christ came to this earth to forgive us of our sins and to give deliverance from sin. However, all do not know and recognize this truth. John's Gospel chapter 8 verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What is the truth? Where can we find the truth? John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth in the form of a man. Jesus healed many diseases. He healed the lame. He healed the deaf. He healed the blind. He healed the leper. He healed the paralytic, and even raised the dead back to life. The Bible says he healed every kind of disease. Nevertheless, the world and the people did not recognize him. One day, while our Lord Jesus Christ was here on the face of the earth, and he was walking with his disciples in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." If we ask the Hindus, they will tell us that Jesus is a god of those that are born in Christian homes. If we ask the Muslims, they will tell us, why, Jesus is just another prophet. If you talk to the atheist, he will tell you, Jesus was just another ordinary man like you and me. The world hasn't changed any since the day of Jesus. People still do not know and have not recognized who this Jesus is. When Jesus put forth this question to his disciples as to who the people thought that he was, none of the answers that they gave him was correct of him. And then it was then that Jesus addressed his own disciples who had watched him, with whom he had lived and moved, and he wanted to recognize and find out whether they had really understood who he was. And to that, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered Simon Peter and said, "Simon, you are blessed, for you have received this revelation not through flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven has given you this special revelation." Indeed, it is sometimes impossible for us to recognize with our own understanding as to who this Jesus is. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." See, we can know Jesus in two different ways. We can gather information and knowledge about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, through what we call head knowledge, something that you may probably read in a magazine or in a newspaper article, some information that you may receive secondhand from a friend or an acquaintance. But then there is another deeper and greater way of knowing who this Jesus is, and that comes through personal experience. The psalmist says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." What he was trying to tell us, that if we experience who Christ is, then we will be able to know for ourselves who this Jesus really is. For he is not and was not John the Baptist, neither was he the prophet Jeremiah, nor was he the prophet Elijah, nor is he just a God that was born for those that have been born and raised in Christian homes, nor is he just one of the prophets as the Muslims believe, and nor is he just an ordinary man like the atheists say and believe. Have you tasted and seen who this Lord is? And listen, until you taste for yourself, you will never understand who Jesus truly is. I would like to share with you about my own experience. There was a time in my life that I did not experience Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. I was raised in a Hindu background. I was born to Hindu parents from Kerala. I belong to a Nambiar family. My father has a family temple attached to his own house. My mother comes from the same kind of background. We were raised in our own religious beliefs and practices. At that time, the information that I had about Jesus was only head knowledge. I was raised in North India. After my birth, my parents moved, after a few years, my parents moved out to different parts of India. And I was actually raised up in North India, in the state of Uttar Pradesh, in the city called Kanpur. My parents raised us up according to our beliefs, our religious practices and customs. I didn't know who Christ was. We were not supposed to have anything to do with Christians. We were not supposed to read the Bible or to get attached to anybody who said and taught anything about Christianity. But my parents wanted us to have the best schooling in our town, and so they put us in a Christian school. Although this was a Christian school, we were supposed to go and study everything that was taught to us during school hours, but we were strictly warned not to have anything to do with the Bible. When I was a little girl, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was suffering from cancer. In those days, cancer was not as common as it is today, and cancer hospitals were limited in India. I'm talking about the early 1960s, when there were two major cancer hospitals in India, one in the city of Bombay and the other in the city of Madras, in a small city called Egmore. My parents had taken her from one temple to another temple, from one god to another god, from one goddess to another goddess, from one specialist to another specialist. In fact, in the initial stages, they were not even able to diagnose that it was cancer. And by the time they diagnosed and came up with the right diagnosis, it had already become too late. Nevertheless, my parents decided, along with the rest of the family members, that they were going to take her to Egmore, Madras. We spent thousands of rupees trying to bring healing to my grandmother, physically speaking. We visited every single temple that we knew to visit, and we gave every single offering that we normally do as Hindus, just in order to be able to appease our gods and goddesses so that my grandmother would recover from this horrible, dreadful disease. My grandmother herself was a very devout, religious Hindu lady who had been on many a pilgrimage, hoping that one of her god or goddess would bring healing to her body. But as none of the gods or goddesses answered, although I was just a little small girl, somewhere between 9 years old and 10 years old, my little heart ached to see my grandmother being reduced to skin and bone. My grandma was a very healthy, beautiful looking woman, but this sickness ate away at her body and reduced her to skin and bone. I would look up to the vast expanse in the heavens above, and I would say, is there a god somewhere? Isn't there a goddess somewhere among the hundreds and thousands of gods and goddesses that we have in Hinduism that could heal my grandmother of cancer? I was searching for a god or a goddess who had the answer to my grandma's problem. I remember by the time I was 11 years old, God sent a preacher of the gospel to my school where I was studying. This preacher had preached to us for one continuous week, to which I paid no attention whatsoever. But the last day before he left, he put up a little box on the pulpit. And he said, if there is any child with any kind of problem, any sickness, any disease, any hardship, any mountain, any challenge, that he would pray and that prayer would be answered. He said that he wasn't going to pray to the sun god or to the moon god or to the river god or to the tree god or to the stone god or to the monkey god. But he was going to pray in the name that's above all names, even the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When I listened to what he had to say, my little ears pricked up because I wanted healing for my grandmother. But I had a problem. I did not want it in the name of Jesus. He had a little box that he had put up on the pulpit. And he said that if we wanted, we could write down our name and need and drop it into that box, and that he would pray for our needs and that that prayer would be answered. I had to wait till everybody else left the sanctuary on that particular morning, because I had to keep this a total secret. I had friends that were from my own community and that knew my family members. And so I had to be very careful how I handled this situation. I had two older brothers and one sister studying with me in the same school, sitting in the same sanctuary, listening to the same message. I waited for everyone to leave the room, and finally I just wrote in that little note and told him that I wanted to meet him one-on-one. This man of God made provision for me the next day to be able to go and meet him and to talk with him. When I went into that room, this servant of the Lord, his name was Reverend Jack Crawford. He came from the Methodist mission. I asked him if Jesus could heal my grandmother of cancer. He gave me the assurance and he told me the truth that Jesus could not only heal the leper, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the paralytic, the patient with cancer, but he has power to raise even the dead back to life. He prayed for my grandmother, who was about 1,000 miles away from where we were. And then he led me in the sinner's prayer. He opened the Bible to me and he showed me from the Word of God that everybody is a sinner and that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord. That the purpose of Christ, the purpose of Christ's incarnation was to give himself on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. That he was beaten, he was bruised, that he was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, but on the third day he rose again, because indeed he is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. When he began to share the word of God with me and showed me in the light of the scriptures that I was a sinner and that there is only one Savior given to mankind, and that his name is Jesus, and that if I died without Christ, I would go to hell and spend my eternity in hell, and that if just by the opening of the door of my heart and receiving Christ as my Savior and confessing my sins to him, I would become his child and I would be able to spend eternity in heaven. The Spirit of the Lord was moving and working in that little room that day. And by the help and grace and mercy of God, I was able to recognize that indeed, even though I was only 11 years old, I was a sinner and that I needed the salvation which Christ came to offer for all who will believe upon him and for all who will call upon his name. I was only 11 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And then that preacher man went on to tell me to read the Word of God, and he gave me a copy of the New Testament. He said, this is God's word. This will lead you and guide you into all truth. Read this word. This word will be strength to you. This word will give faith and build you in the faith. I received this New Testament from his hands, and he asked me to continue to pray for my grandmother, and he left me with the assurance that indeed Jesus would heal my grandmother of incurable cancer. I knew that the Christian book was not welcome in my house, so I took this little New Testament and I hid it under my mattress. I didn't know how to pray to Jesus. And so before I left that day, I had asked Reverend Crawford and told him that I didn't know how to pray. He told me that praying was just talking to God. And so I began to talk to God, and I began to ask Jesus to heal my grandmother. And let me testify for the glory of the Lord's name that after 1 month of prayer and reading this New Testament, Jesus healed my grandmother of incurable cancer. Our Lord is a risen Savior. He speaks, He talks, He heals, He delivers, He guides, He watches over. He's all in all. He's sufficient for every problem that we face under the sun. Because of my Hindu background, my Christian life was restricted and limited to the four walls of my own house. I was never given the privilege of going to church. I had no Sunday school, no pastor, no priest, no prayer group, no youth group, no women's group, no children's group, nothing of that kind. You probably are wondering by now, is it possible for anyone to be a Christian with no outside help? Let me testify to you. Jesus is a risen Savior. He speaks through dreams, through visions. It is possible to hear His audible voice. When we look through the pages of the Bible, we see that God spoke to His people through dreams. Men like Joseph, men like Daniel. He gave visions to people of things that were going to come. Told them in advance. Heavenly revelations that they received, confirming the truth and the power of God. Again, when we read the pages of the Bible, We see that God spoke to men like Moses. He spoke to men like Elijah. He spoke to men like Daniel. Some of us are willing to restrict the work of God and the power of God only to the Old Testament. But when we come and go through the pages of the New Testament, we realize and recognize that the same God who spoke to Daniel, who spoke to Moses, who spoke to Elijah, who spoke to Samuel, is the same God who continues to speak to Peter, Paul, and the others in the New Testament days. Jesus hasn't changed any. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who spoke in the Old Testament times continued to speak to the New Testament early first century Christians. The same God who spoke to them in the first century days, it's the same God who speaks to me and to you in the 20th and the 21st century. I have heard the voice of God speak to me many times. God has given me dreams and revelations of things that were going to happen. And the purpose of all this was that He was confirming to me that there is no other God in all of heaven and earth beside Him. For He is the only one who knows yesterday, today, and the future. God is omniscient. He knows everything, past, present, and future. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And God is omni or omnipresent. Present during the days of Moses. Present during the days of Paul and Peter. And present even today in your day and in my day. He's alive. Psalm 115, verses 3 to 10. The psalmist describes God, and he says like this, making a comparison with the other so-called gods and goddesses. He says, the idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. Indeed, our Lord is different from man-made idols. Even as the psalmist says, they can see us in our trouble, But they cannot come down and deliver us from our trouble. They do not see us when we go through our troubles. When we pray out, they have no ears, and therefore they cannot hear. When we are in trouble and when we call out, they cannot hear or see, therefore they cannot come down to rescue and to save us and to help us. They are the works of men's hands, made out of gold, made out of silver, made out of clay and other materials. Jesus began to reveal himself to me over the years, even though I never had the privilege of going to church. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know that he is the truth? Do you know that he is not man-made? Do you know that he is from everlasting to everlasting, even as the scripture says? Do you know that Jesus has never had a beginning? It is true that he came in the form of man, and the Bible speaks about the incarnation, but he has always been there from time, eternity. But he's never had an ending and never will have an ending. In John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Why did Jesus say, "I am the way"? Because indeed, he's the only way to heaven. There are many false ways. There are many people who profess themselves and pose to be gods and goddesses, but their way is not the way to heaven. There is only one way. Jesus said that a man cannot enter into the kingdom of God, enter into heaven, except by him. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Why did Jesus boldly say that he is the truth? Because indeed, he is the only one who is the truth. In this age and time in which we live, there are so many false religions and beliefs and faiths that are mushrooming around us all over. And there are people who do not know the truth, who are being deceived by the powers of darkness into believing the lie of the devil. Jesus is the only one who has the authority and had the authority to say, "I am the truth," because there is no lie in him. He is the embodiment of truth. Jesus said, "I am the life." Why did Jesus say that he is the life? How could Jesus say that he is the life? Because indeed, he has the keys of life and death in his hand. And he said, "I came that you might have life and life more abundantly." Man died spiritually when he became disobedient to the command of God in the Garden of Eden. There was a big gulf that came between God and man as a result of man's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Man was thrown out from the presence of God, and God cursed man, and man came down to the earth, thereby bringing a big great gulf between God and man. In order to take away this gulf, Jesus came as the bridge to take man back to God. He came to this world in the form of a man, and he suffered and bled and died on the cross, so that whoever believes on his name should have everlasting life. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is the very life that Jesus speaks about in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, when he said, "I came to give life and life more abundantly." The thief or the devil comes to steal, rob, destroy, and kill. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that he is the truth, the way, and life? I continued reading the New Testament, being convinced every single day that the Word of God is the eternal Word of God, and that it is unchanging, and it is the only true scripture given to man. By now, I had finished my master's in English literature, and I had plans for my own life and for my future. It was at that time I began to hear my Savior calling me into full-time Christian ministry to commit and submit my life into His hands for a higher and greater purpose and plan that He had planned for me, for my life. God spoke to me and He asked me to pick up courage and start going to a church. The church that was closest to my house was a Methodist church. I did not know any doctrinal differences at that time. Neither did I know any denominational differences. The only thing I knew was Jesus, that He is my Lord and He is the Lord of the universe, and that He died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, and that in Him I can, and anyone can who believes in Him, have eternal life. After a few months of going to this Methodist church, God divinely put me in touch with a person who shared with me about the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God has and makes no mistakes. There are no coincidences with God. He plans ahead of time and He networks ahead of time on my behalf and on the behalf of those who are willing to follow Him as He leads them and guides them. After this truth of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as we see in the book of Acts chapter 2, was brought to my attention along with many other scriptures which teach us and tell us and give us more information about this glorious experience of the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to me, I began to seek the Lord Jesus for this glorious and wonderful experience. And one fine day, it pleased the Lord to baptize me to overflowing with the evidence of speaking in tongues, even as we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I wonder if anyone who is listening to this cassette and message has issues and struggles over things in their life, with things in their life. You have a habit that has gotten hold of you, which you find hard to get rid of. You have a temptation that you succumb to over and over again, and you don't know how to gain victory over this temptation. I am here to share and to witness the fact and the truth that the greatest power on this earth is the power of the third person of the Holy Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can change your life. He can deliver you from any kind of addiction, give you victory over every bad habit. Jesus changed my life. Not that I was into drugs or gangs or things like that. You don't necessarily have to be into drugs and gangs. We still may have bad issues and sins and habits that we grapple with on a day-to-day basis. I'm here to tell you, Jesus can change our life and transform us into His likeness and give us His nature to overcome the forces and the powers of darkness. All these years, I had been praying for my loved ones. When I would see them worshiping dead idols, my heart would break. I knew they were praying in all sincerity. And I knew that they thought that all their prayers were being heard. But the Bible, which is the true word of God, the only true scriptures on the earth, tells you and me that those prayers are not heard. And that those gods are so-called man-made gods, and that they are not the truth. And so I kept praying and praying and praying and praying that God would open their eyes and their understanding, that they may accept Jesus as their Savior, and that they would commit their lives to the Savior, and that He would become their one and only true Lord and God. For Jesus is not just the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and Jesus is not just one God among many gods, but Jesus is the Lord and the Savior, the only Savior of mankind, and He wants to be Lord of our lives, which simply means that we acknowledge Him in every area of our life. After many years of prayer, God brought a revivalist to my town. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, even as he spoke to the church at Antioch, as we see recorded in God's holy word in the book of Acts chapter 13. The first two verses say, at the church of Antioch, as they fasted and prayed there, there were prophets and teachers, all mentioned by name. The Holy Spirit spake to them and said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to do. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he speaks. This same Holy Spirit spoke to me one Sunday afternoon after I had just returned home from a long service. And the Holy Spirit said, go and get this preacher to your house. I am going to save the members of your family. Humanly speaking, this was absolutely impossible because my parents and my family were still very deeply rooted and grounded in Hinduism. They had come to the point and to the place where they were willing to accept that Jesus is one among the lords and gods, but they were still not ready to say Jesus is the only Lord and God, and that he is their Savior too, and that he died even for them on the cross. But that morning, as this preacher of the gospel came to my house, my mother and two sisters were the only ones that were present there. And although over the years I had shared gospel truths with them, it was only that morning, as he shared gospel truth with them one more time under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, that my mother and two sisters began to really pay attention to what was being told. This preacher man told them the fact and the truth that the difference between Jesus and all the other gods and goddesses is the fact and the truth that the tomb of Jesus is empty. That if you go to the tomb of Jesus, there are no remains to be found. But although there have been other gods and goddesses and preachers and teachers that have walked the face of the earth, their remains lie still in the grave. That Jesus, although he died and he was crucified and he was buried, on the third day, Jesus rose again, and he is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. He told them the difference between other religions and the difference between other gods and goddesses and Jesus is a major fact and truth that Christ is the only one who came and who sacrificed his body and his blood on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of mankind. There is not one person that has walked the face of the earth or will walk the face of the earth that is going to be without sin. As a result of Adam and Eve's sin, sinful nature flows through every single one of our bodies and veins. You don't have to teach a one-year-old how to sin. This sinful tendency and sinful nature is there, inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve. The child is not taught to steal his older brother's cookie or candy when the mother is not watching. Who teaches this child to steal? It is that inborn sinful nature that he has inherited from Adam and Eve. There is not one righteous, not one, says the Bible. No matter how good we may be, no matter how righteous we may try to be, no matter what good deeds we may do, the Bible tells us that we still have sin and sinful nature in running in our veins, and that Christ came to forgive us of these sins. My mother and two sisters, as they listened to the word of God, the Holy Spirit convicted them, and they accepted Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. And within minutes, even as we read in the book of Acts chapter 10, when Peter the apostle was preaching the word of God in the house of Cornelius, and all that sat there were baptized in the Holy Spirit, my mother and two sisters were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Lord had begun a work in my family. Within a very short period, the Lord saved three of my brothers and baptized all three of them with the Holy Ghost. But I still had my father and two brothers who were very against the preaching of the gospel and were not willing to accept this truth. They were horrified. They were angry. They were upset because they had not yet understood and recognized who this Jesus is. I'm going to make a long story short. My father had taken very ill and he was on his deathbed. The doctors had pronounced and said that he only had a few days more to live on the earth. And they had asked and said, if anybody wants to come and see him, they are welcome to come and see him because his days are numbered. My father couldn't talk because of what he was suffering with. However, his subconscious was still working. And in his subconscious, he says, while he was there on his deathbed, waiting for his day to move and leave this earth, he saw a dreadful, horrible vision of one of the death gods of Hinduism, whom we call Yama. He had come with a black chain, dressed in black, all ready to take my father to hell. My father, who had been a good man, full of good works, was so surprised in spite of all his good deeds and works that he was not going to go to heaven, but he was going to go to hell, which we call Narag. It was on that deathbed that my father, in his subconscious mind, reached out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this way, Jesus, if you are real, if what the Bible says about you is true, if what my wife and my children and other Christians say about you is true, then heal me on this deathbed and I will be your follower and your disciple for the rest of my days. Jesus is always waiting for the prodigal. When we call out to him, he will come and he will minister to us because he is a living God. The psalmist says, he that hath formed the eyes, shall he not see? He that hath formed the ears, shall he not hear? Yes, indeed, the Lord heard his prayer and the Lord saw his condition and the Lord came down, stretched out his nail-scarred hands and touched and healed my father. My father got up there from his deathbed, healed and whole by the power of God, and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Came out of that hospital in the city of Kanpur, runs the famous holy river of the Hindus called the River Ganges. My father himself had been there on several occasions, as do all Hindus, believing that by bathing in the waters of the River Ganges, their sins will be forgiven and washed away. And after my father had given his heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, my father was baptized and he was added into the body of Christ, even the church. The Lord gave him an extension of 13 long years. In due course of time, the Lord baptized him with the Holy Ghost and with power. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can be witnesses unto him. And after his salvation and after his baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit, my father began to become a witness in our town. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was not ashamed to share the truth to anybody, anywhere. He spoke to all nominal Christians. He spoke to the Hindus and the Muslims and told them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. 13 years later, when it was time for the Lord to take my father home to glory, my father said that he saw the heavens opened and he saw angels coming to beckon him. Immediately he told my mother to go and get the pastor. He asked my mother to go and get the believers in town, who all came within a pretty short period of time. And as they gathered around his deathbed, he held the hands of the young people there, the youth, and he looked them in the eyes and he told them, never leave Jesus, for he is the truth. In his younger days, my father had been an atheist. Growing up and being raised in Kerala, the winds of communism had influenced him. And there was a time when he said that there is no God. But then again, because of his tradition and his custom, he believed in his own gods and goddesses. And so he told these young men and all the others that were gathered, that he had tasted a little bit of all of it, but he was convinced that the path of the Lord Jesus Christ and that the Holy Bible is the true word of God, and it is the truth. My father asked if he could pray for the members of the church. And after he prayed for the members of the church and prayed for his children, he tilted his head and went home to be with the Lord in glory. Friend, my father was fortunate in that the Lord gave him a chance to accept him and to live for him. I want you to know that death is no respecter of any person. Death can come and knock at the door of anybody, young or old. You don't have to be an old man with a head full of gray hair to leave this earth. Anybody can die. Tomorrow is not promised to us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth and passeth away. We are here today, we may not be there tomorrow. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Do you know this Jesus? Have you accepted this Jesus? God has given you an opportunity to listen to the truth through this cassette if you've never heard the truth before. If you have heard the truth before, and you have heard this gospel, this good news, that you don't have to go to hell, that there is a way out of hell, and it is in believing through Jesus that you can get out from hell to heaven. You have heard this gospel, but you have not made a decision for Christ as yet. God is giving you one more chance so that you can make the right decision, so you do not have to spend eternity in a Christless hell. Jesus is the truth. He will lead you and he will guide you. He has the answer to every problem under the sun. You don't have to struggle with your problems. You don't have to carry these burdens upon your own shoulders and bear the weight that you can't bear. There's a way out. Christ has the answer to every problem that man faces under the sun. He will lead you. He will catch you by the hand. He will guide you. His grace is going to be poured out upon you, which is sufficient under all circumstances, in all places, at all times. He is the good shepherd that he says he is in Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again the second time. He came once as the son of an ordinary carpenter when nobody recognized him and nobody knew him. In spite of the miracles and the teachings and the wonders he did, the world did not recognize him. A handful of simple people, yes, they accepted Jesus and they recognized him. But the rest of the world, they crucified this Savior and this Lord. But the Bible tells us that this same Jesus, whom the early disciples saw ascend up into heaven as recorded in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 following, is going to come a second time. He's no longer going to come as an ordinary carpenter's son, but this time he's going to come as the Lord of the heavens and the earth, as my Lord and your Lord, if you will accept him. The Bible says he's going to come in the clouds, and all those that are going to be ready and are waiting and watching for his second coming are going to be lifted up into the clouds and will meet him in the air. Face to face we shall see him. And we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And we too will have a new body so that we can see this pure and holy Lord and King, even Jesus. And after this most important event in the history of mankind has taken place, the Bible says, God is going to let all of hell loose on this earth. We call it tribulation and great tribulation. Friends, God is giving you an opportunity, even today as you listen to this cassette, for you to be delivered from that great turmoil, trouble, and tribulation that God's word warns us about. Today is your opportunity to make a commitment to Christ. Today is your opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior. Today is your opportunity to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Today is your opportunity to open the door of your heart and ask the Lord to come into your life so that He can be your Lord, your King, your Shepherd, and your guide. God help you to make this decision.